धर्मोऽसि वृषरूपदृक् यद् अधर्म कृतास्तानम् सूचकस्यापि तद्भवेत्। राजोवाच धर्मं ब्रवीषि धर्मज्ञ धर्मोऽसि वृषरूपदृक् यद् अधर्म कृता स्थानम् सूचकस्यापि तद्भवेत्। राजोवाच धर्मं ब्रवीषि धर्मज्ञ धर्मोऽसि वृषरूपदृक् यद् अधर्म कृतस्थानम् सूचकस्यापि तद्भवेत्। Raja Uvacha, the king said, Dharmam, religion, Bravishi, as you speak, Dharmagya, O one who knows the codes of religion, Dharmaha, the personality of religion, Asi, you are, Vrishrupadrik, in the disguise of a bull, yat, whatever, ard adharma kritaha, one who acts irreligiously, sthanam, place, suchakasya, of the identifier, api, also, tat, that, bhavet, becomes. Translation. The king said, O you who are in the form of a bull, you know the truth of religion, and you are speaking according to the principle that the destination intended for the perpetrator of irreligious acts is also intended for one who identifies the perpetrator. You are no other than the personality of religion. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A devotee's conclusion is that no one is directly responsible for being a benefactor or mischief monger without the sanction of the Lord. Therefore, he does not consider anyone to be directly responsible for such action. But in both the cases, he takes it for granted that either benefit or loss is God-sent, and thus it is His grace. in case of benefit, no one will deny that it is God sent. But in case of loss or reverses, one becomes doubtful about how the Lord could be so unkind to his devotee as to put him in great difficulty. Jesus Christ was seemingly put into such great difficulty being crucified by the ignorant, but he was never angry at the mischief mongers. That is the way of accepting a thing, either favorable or unfavorable. Thus, for a devotee, the identifier is equally a sinner, like the mischief monger. By God's grace, the devotee tolerates all reverses. Maharaj Parikshit observed this, and therefore he could understand that the bull was no other than the personality of religion himself. In other words, a devotee has no suffering at all, because so-called suffering is also God's grace for a devotee who sees God in everything. The cow and bull never placed any complaint before the king for being tortured by the personality of Kali, although everyone lodges such complaints before the state authorities. The extraordinary behavior of the bull made the king conclude that the bull was certainly the personality of religion, for no one else could understand the finer intricacies of the codes of religion. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Salapaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Ragunatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Ramo, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I'd like to welcome all of you to today's Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today we are discussing a very, very special verse and purport over here. I'd just like to read one small part of the purport which I'll be focusing on. By God's grace, the devotee tolerates all reverses. So, in other words, a devotee has no suffering at all because so-called suffering is also God's grace for a devotee who sees God in everything. So here in this purport and in this particular verse, Parikshit Maharaj is observing a very interesting quality of dharma and the cow. The dharma personified is in the form of a bull, and Mother Earth is in the form of a cow, and they are exhibiting a very interesting quality. When somebody does something wrong to us, the most natural thing is
we first of all get angry on people who do something wrong to us, and we go and complain to someone. If we have no one else to complain to, we go and complain to God, saying that this person did this to us, you know. And this is our nature from our childhood, isn't it? Right from the day we are born, when somebody troubles us, we go to our mother, we go to our father, we go to someone and complain. You know, in the initial days, it is some brother or sister who is troubling us. As we grow older, it is friends in college and schools that are troubling us. As we get older, there is a boss or a colleague troubling us. As we get older, there is a husband or wife that is troubling us. Literally at every stage in one's life, you know, those who are staying in the ashram, all inmates are troubling each other, basically, you know. So typically, in every stage of life, no matter where you are, somebody is going to trouble you. Somebody is going to create some mischief. Somebody is going to create some irritation. Somebody is going to create some botheration. Now, I am not saying that what is recommended in the Bhagavatam is what you should do. You should see your level and then do what you want to do, basically. But the Bhagavatam says that the quality of a devotee is that when somebody troubles, when the devotee goes through troubles, when the devotee goes through difficulties, the devotee never criticizes anybody else, never complains about anybody else. They just consider this to be the grace of the Lord. Now, for all those of you who have a Kshatriya spirit in you, you may not agree to this, and that's perfectly fine, you know. And you can go ahead and do what you need to do to get justice, that's fine. But here, the Bhagavatam gives a very different way of looking at the idea of forgiveness, the idea of dealing with complications in your life. To help us understand this, I'm going to share with you all a story from the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. And just recently, I was sharing this story with a group of devotees. And I was so amazed by this story that we're going to be discussing. This is a story of one of Ramanujacharya's most exalted disciples. And the story that I'm going to discuss, I'm going to get into great details of it. And the beauty is in the details. So towards the first half of this story, you might find that the theme that we're talking about doesn't come at all, but that's okay. But the second half of the story is absolutely this concept that we're going to be discussing. And it's just so fascinating to observe how a devotee deals with difficulties in his personal life. And when we're going through the story, when we are going to be discussing this story, let us put ourselves in the shoes of this devotee and see what we would have done if he had experienced 1/4 of what this devotee went through in his life. Even a small fraction. And that will actually tell us whether we are a devotee or not. And what level of devotee we are, you know. So it literally brings out, you know, the nature of a great devotee. It brings out the qualities of a great devotee. And it actually helps us become humbled by this fact that we are very, very far away from what this standard the Bhagavatam talks about and this standard that the Vaishnava Acharyas exhibit in their lives. And then, at the end of today's session, we can all question ourselves, am I really a devotee? So this story is about one of Ramanujacharya's foremost disciples, whose name is Kuresh. In the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, he is called as Kurat Alvar. He is considered to be one of the prominent Alvar's saints of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. And I'm going to be focusing on Kuresh's life. I'll just initially give you all an introduction to who Kuresh is and the kind of personality he is. And then we'll get into the story that I'm really going to focus on today. So Kuresh was a disciple of Ramanujacharya from a place known as Kanchipuram. And in that district, Kuresh was a king of a small place known as Kura. Kura Isha. That's why his name is Kuresh. He is a king of Kura, this place named Kura. So Kuresh was a very learned and a very aristocratic person. And he had a huge amount of wealth. And from he had so much money that the only thing he would do all day long was give charity. He would begin giving charity at sunrise and he would stop giving charity at sunset. All day he was just giving charity. And so many people would come to beg from him and ask him for things. Just keep giving. You know, one day, Lakshmi Devi, who was in Varadaraj temple, she asks Varadaraj. Varadaraj is the deity of Kanchipuram. So she asks him, what is this big sound that comes every day at sunset? So Varadaraj says, this is the door of Kuresh shutting after giving so much charity all day long. You know? So when the door of Kuresh shuts, it creates a loud sound that is heard all over Kanchipuram, basically. You know? So Lakshmi Devi, she says, I would love to see this person. Who is this person who is giving so much wealth in charity? Somehow, this discussion between Varadaraj and Lakshmi Devi was overheard by a pujari of that temple. So that pujari, now you don't please ask me how he overheard deities talking at all. That's not the point here. But the pujari went and told Kuresh this. He said, you are so fortunate that Lakshmi is wanting to see you. Kuresh actually took that as an offense. He said, Lakshmi wants to see me because I'm giving so much wealth and charity. Not so much because I'm a devotee of the Lord. So he said, this is actually a absolutely, you know, this is not the way I want to be identified. I don't want to be known as a person who is very wealthy and very charitable, you know. I mean, everyone wants to be known by a particular way, right? How do you want to be known? So Kuresh is saying, this is not how I want to be known. And if Lakshmi is wanting to see me only because I'm giving so much wealth and charity, I don't want wealth only. That day, he told his wife, let us leave all this money and go away. So he and his wife walked out of their palace, giving up all the wealth, giving up all the opulences that they had, and just walked out with a bag. With a small amount of cloth. That's all. And as they're walking through the forest, at one point, Kuresh's wife, she began to get scared. And she told her husband that, my dear Lord, I'm feeling a little scared. What if there are thieves in the forest? Kuresh asked her, have you brought any money with you? And she had apparently brought one golden bowl, which she wanted to use to serve Kuresh food. Kuresh said, give me that golden ball. He took it and threw it. He said, now there is no fear because we have nothing, basically. So they both walked all the way to Srirangam and took shelter of Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya was the head of the Srivaishnava Sampradaya at that point in time. And Ramanujacharya, before he took charge of the Srivaishnava Sampradaya, he came to the deathbed of Yamunacharya, who was his guru. Yamunacharya was, by the time Ramanuja reached there, Yamunacharya had already died. He had already passed away. And the dead body of Yamunacharya was lying on the, just waiting for Ramanuja to come to do the antyeshti, to do the samadhi. So when Ramanuja comes, he notices the Yamunacharya's body is lying there, but Yamunacharya's three fingers are folded, like this. I mean, if anyone dies, or anyone is in any stage of life, you don't keep your fingers folded just like that, right? So Ramanuja felt that Yamunacharya wants to convey to me that there are three unfulfilled desires of his that I should fulfill. So he said, so he has folded his three hands, three fingers and kept. So Ramanacharya began to meditate on what could be the three desires of his guru. Nowadays, our situation is such that when we talk to our guru also, we don't understand what his desire is. Here is someone whose guru has already passed away and he is trying to figure out what is the desire of the spiritual master. And in his meditation, he starts narrating, he starts thinking that this is the... So first desire, he said, is that I will write a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. The moment, He said, yeah, I'll write a Vaishnava commentary on the Vedanta Sutras. The moment he said that, one finger of Yamunacharya opened up. People were amazed. Here is a person who has passed away. And is the body of the person is lying there. But still the finger opened. I mean, normally, if any other normal person finger opened after dying, people would have really freaked out. But here is an Acharya. He's such an exalted Acharya. His finger opened. And immediately Ramanuja understood that this is the desire of Yamunacharya. And then he said, the second desire of Yamunacharya is that I will preach the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya and spread the glory of Sri Sampradaya all over the world. Second desire, second finger opened. And he said, the third desire of Yamunacharya is, I should name two of my disciples after the greatest contributors to the Vedic scriptures, Vyasa and Parashara. And the moment he said that, another third finger opened, Yamunacharya. And Ramanuja, he decided that he will fulfill all these desires. And then he left out to fulfill the first desire of writing a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. To write the commentary on Vedanta Sutra, Ramanacharya wanted a book. And this book was named Bodhayan Vritti. And the only copy of that book was in Kashmir at that point. Sharada Peet it was called. And Ramanuja had to travel from Srirangam to Kashmir all the way walking. Now this is like from one end of India to the other end of India walking. Imagine, how many months it would have taken. So Ramanuja went with one disciple, Kuresh, all the way to Kashmir. And when he went over there, the Kashmir Pandits and the Brahmanas over there, they were a little hesitant to give him the commentary, that particular Bodhayan Vritti, because they were followers of Shankara. And they didn't want him to write a Vaishnava commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So they hid that Bodhayan Vritti. And Ramanuja, he spoke to the king of that land and convinced him that he needs to write this commentary to fulfill the desire of his guru. The king said, fine, you take the commentary, provided Saraswati gives it to you. Now, where will Saraswati give him the commentary? So, the king was trying to play it tough. So then Ramanuja went to the temple, prayed to Saraswati Devi, kept the book on the floor next to, at the feet of Saraswati Devi, and Ramanuja went out saying that, if Saraswati wants me to take this book, she will hold it in her hand. And if she holds it in her hand, I will take it as my right. The next day when Ramanuja came there, the book was missing. You know why? Because the Brahmanas took that only copy of the book and burnt it, so that Ramanuja doesn't get access to it. And when Ramanuja came the next day, the book was missing, not in Saraswati's hand. So Ramanuja was in great anxiety. But Ramanuja prayed a little bit and he realized Saraswati won't let this go like this. So Ramanuja just said, check in Saraswati's hair. I think the book is there. And Saraswati Devi, she kept a duplicate book in her hand which they burnt. And the original book she hid behind her hair locks. So Ramanujacharya took that book and the Brahmanas couldn't see anything. He and Kuresh walked with the book back to South India. In the night, every night, Ramanuja told Kuresh, you guard the book. Make sure that the book is safe. Because anytime anything can happen, because this is the only copy of the book. So Kuresh kept guarding the book all night. And when they reached midway, suddenly one night, they found the book is missing. And the Brahmanas had come and stolen the book away. And Ramanuja was in great anxiety. This is where the story of Kuresh starts. Kuresh tells Ramanuja, don't worry. I have biotted the full book. Every night, Kuresh would read the book all night long. Ramanujacharya would take rest. All night, Kuresh read the book. And after so many nights of traveling like this, all day walking and all night he's reading by heart. He had photographic memory. Literally every page of the book was registered in his mind. Now imagine the intelligence of this person. And Ramanuja was so happy. So Ramanujacharya told Kuresh that, so he said, Kuresh is saying, by your mercy, I managed to learn the whole book. And he said, just tell me what you want and I'll give you the reference. So Ramanujacharya was dictating, and whenever Ramanuja needed any reference from the Bodhayan Vritti, Kuresh would give it. And Kuresh kept writing on behalf of Ramanuja. Ramanuja would dictate and Kuresh would write. So at a particular point in time, you know, Ramanuja told him, whenever you feel that I am saying something that is not right, you should just point it out to me. So Ramanuja kept dictating and Kuresh kept writing. At one point, Kuresh stopped writing. So Ramanuja, he asked Kuresh, why did you stop writing? Kuresh didn't reply. This is very interesting, I found, you know. Kuresh didn't reply. So Ramanuja said, how dare you stop writing? Kuresh didn't reply. Kuresh was hesitating to tell his guru, you're wrong. He just didn't reply. So Ramanuja understood that he has made some mistake, but Ramanuja couldn't understand what mistake he has made. And Kuresh is not replying here. And Ramanuja walked away in anger. After some time, Ramanuja thought about what he narrated. And then he realized he made a small mistake in the narration and therefore Kuresh stopped writing. So Ramanuja came back and he again started narrating and then Kuresh began to write again. So the nature of Kuresh is that no matter how much, so he's a scholar, he's so intelligent, he's so smart, but he's also so sensitive that he doesn't point out the mistake of his teacher. He doesn't speak that you're wrong, you know. He's so sensitive towards that. So at some point, Ramanuja started spreading the Shivashma Sampradaya like anything. He was traveling the length and breadth of India and preaching like anything to fulfill the second desire of his guru. Of course, the first desire got fulfilled. The Bodhayan Vritti got, he wrote a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. It was named as Sri Bhashya. And as Ramanuja was propagating, Shivaishnavism all over the world, at that point, there was a king whose name was Kolakunga. And this king was a very, very envious king and a very cruel person. And he wanted Ramanujacharya to stop preaching. And he called Ramanujacharya to his court. So everyone knew that Ramanuja going to this king's court is very dangerous. Because this king is known to be cruel and is a tyrant. So Kuresh tells Ramanuja that I will go on your behalf. And Kuresh, he actually wears the clothes of his guru. He wears the saffron clothes of his guru. And Ramanuja wears the white clothes of Kuresh. And Ramanuja goes away from there, from Melkote, the place where he was. And he goes in disguise. He goes, in hiding. And Kuresh, he goes to this king's court as Ramanuja, dressed as Ramanuja. And he, another great Vaishnav, who is another guru of Ramanuja, whose name is Mahapurna, he goes along with Kuresh. So Kuresh and Mahapurna, they both go to the king's court. The amazing thing about this relationship between Mahapurna and Kuresh is that, now Kuresh is a disciple of Ramanuja. And Mahapurna is a guru of Ramanuja. Three generations, literally. Mahapurna, Ramanuja, Kuresh. This is the disciplic succession, you know. And here, the relationship between Mahapurna and Ramanuja, though Ramanuja considers him to be his guru, but technically, and from all practical points of view, Mahapurna considers Ramanuja to be his guru. It's just so amazing that the relationship between Vaishnavas is not just a formal relationship of, you know, a disciplic succession in one order, but the understanding and knowledge can be gained from the other order also. So Mahapurna got so much inspiration from Ramanuja, who was his disciple apparently. And so Kuresh and Mahapurna became Ramanuja and one became the assistant of Ramanuja. And this king thought this is Ramanuja only. And he forced both of them to stop being Vaishnavas and convert to followers of Adi Shankara, Shankaracharya. And both of them, they were very, obviously, it's not about, you know, what faith you follow. It's about your personal connection with God. So whatever connection you have with God, nobody has the right to force you to convert your connection to something else. And here was the king forcing them. And they said, they were very convinced with what they were doing. The king blinded both of them. So Mahapurna was very old at that point in time. Imagine at that age, he was blinded. Both his eyes were plucked out. And Kuresh, both his eyes were plucked out. So Mahapurna and Kuresh, both of them were blind, they were bleeding, and they began to walk towards Srirangam without any eyes. So as both of them were, you know, really, really in painfully struggling towards Srirangam, on the way, Mahapurna told Kuresh, I can't continue anymore. I want to leave my body here. So Kuresh kept telling Mahapurna, no, no, just hold on for some more time. We'll reach Srirangam and then you can pass your, pass away from this body in Srirangam Dham. At that point, Mahapurna made a very powerful statement. Mahapurna tells Kuresh, he said, if I keep my body till I reach Srirangam, and if you make all arrangements to reach Srirangam, people will think that even for a great soul like Mahapurna, to go back to Godhead, one has to reach Srirangam. But, so that means people will think that if I have to go back to the spiritual world, I have to go to a holy place. I want to tell people, I want to leave my body here. And he says, I want to leave my body on the lap of a Vaishnav. So he told Kuresh to sit down, and Mahapurna kept his head on the lap of Kuresh. And on the lap of Kuresh, chanting the holy names of the Lord, he left his body. And Mahapurna made a statement for all of us, for all time to come. A Vaishnav doesn't have to leave the body only in a holy place to go to the spiritual world. The lap of a devotee is also a holy place, which is good enough. And wherever a devotee leaves his body, that place becomes a holy place. So Mahapurna actually left his body in that way. Kuresh, he brought the body of Mahapurna with a lot of struggle. Imagine a blind person carrying the body of another person, all the way from, such a far distance to Srirangam. So, when Kuresh and all of them, when Kuresh reached Srirangam, Ramanuja was very, very shocked to see Kuresh in this state, blinded. And for his sake, for the sake of the spiritual master, Kuresh lost his eyes. So, Kuresh began to leave the rest of his life in Srirangam itself, trying to serve his spiritual master in whatever little way he can. So Kuresh, he began to sustain himself on Madhukari. He was fabulously rich, and now he has lost his eyes, and he has no money. So he's going around house to house begging and seeking alms. And whatever alms he would bring back, his wife would cook and she would feed him. So one particular day, there was no grains at home, and it was raining heavily. And Kuresh couldn't go out of the house to go and beg alms. And his wife, she was feeling so bad that, her husband is lying on an empty stomach. So she heard the sound of a bell somewhere far away. And I'm sure all of us understand the sound of bell, right? When bell is ringing, means offering is going on, in the house or in the temple. So most people, most devotees get accustomed to set their, alarm clock according to the sound of the bell, basically. So the moment she heard the sound of the bell coming from far away from Varadaraj temple, she, Kuresh's wife, had one little thought. She was thinking, Varadaraj is eating so nicely and my husband is, not having any food. So, just when she had this thought in her mind, Ranganath. Just when she had this thought in her mind, Ranganath inspired the pujari to go and give the bhoga to Kuresh. So, this Ranganath's pujari sent the bhoga, the prasad of the Lord, in a palanquin to Kuresh's house. So, when Kuresh saw a palanquin coming from Ranganath, these Vaishnava sampradayas, you don't send bhoga just like that. Even to send the bhoga, there is a special arrangement. Even to send the prasad, there is a special arrangement. So when the palanquin came with huge quantity of prasad to Kuresh's house, Kuresh asked his wife, did you think of anything like this? And Kuresh's wife said, yeah, I thought maybe some prasad should come to you. And Kuresh, he was feeling so bad that for his sake, the Lord had to make such a special arrangement, He only took a little bit, one little portion of that prasad for himself, and he sent the rest of the prasad back to Ranganath so that it can be distributed to all the devotees. So when Ramanujacharya came back to Sri Rangam and he saw Kuresh's state, you know, Ramanujacharya went back to Kuresh, went to Kuresh, and Kuresh, he offered his full respects to his guru. Ramanujacharya embraced his disciple. Now imagine, you know, there are disciples who have done a lot for their spiritual masters, isn't it? But have you seen any disciple who has sacrificed his eyes for the spiritual master? Here is an example of someone who has sacrificed his eyes for the sake of his guru. So theoretically we say many things that you know, that I'll give my life for my guru and all that. But when actually asked to give your life, most of us run away, isn't it? I don't think anybody will be in a position like Kuresh. So Ramanujacharya felt so bad. He said, my dear Kuresh, you have lost your darshan, you have lost your eyes, and you have lost your vision so that you can save the vision of our Siddhanta. Why did Kuresh lose his eyes? Because he wanted to save Ramanujacharya. And what is Ramanujacharya doing? Ramanujacharya is giving vision to the world, isn't it? So Ramanujacharya tells Kuresh, you have lost your vision so that the world gets the vision. So he says, what a tragedy this is, Kuresh, Ramanujacharya tells him. And Kuresh gives an amazing reply. Now this discussion between Ramanuja and Kuresh and the whole dealings of what Kuresh, does with Ramanuja, this personifies what Vaishnavism is in my understanding. And whenever I speak this, whenever I hear this, whenever I read these stories, it just touches the heart so much. Obviously we are nowhere here. We are nowhere here. But this is the aspiration that every devotee should have. The mood that we are going to be discussing right now, the mood of Kuresh that we are going to be seeing right now. So when Ramanuja, his own guru, tells Kuresh like this, you know what Kuresh replies? Kuresh says something stunning. He tells Ramanuja, my dear Lord, I must have surely offended some devotee, some Vaishnav, thinking that his tilak is not straight. Because I saw and I offended some Vaishnav thinking his tilak is not straight, therefore I lost my eyes. Imagine this. Obviously, if you talk to us, you know, we see bad in every Vaishnav so many times a day. I don't know how many times we should be blind in, you know, keeping this in mind, isn't it? Tilak's, Kuresh's consciousness is, because I saw a Vaishnav and probably I offended a Vaishnav with my eyes, I've lost my vision. And therefore, he says that, and then Ramanujacharya tells Kuresh, you have sacrificed your eyes for giving Vaishnav darshan to the world. Please, you go to Ranganath and ask your eyes back. Please just ask him for your eyes back. Kuresh replies, my dear Lord, I don't want my eyes back. So he says, why? He says, because my eyes have seen the person who has offended a devotee. Kuresh's eyes saw Kulakunga, who has offended Mahapurna and, literally killed Mahapurna, right? So he said, because that eyes have seen that aparadhi of a Vaishnav, I don't want those eyes back. So Ramanujacharya is amazed. What kind of a person is this? So then, so Ramanujacharya tells Kuresh, he gives him an instruction as a guru. He tells him, please go and go to Kanchipuram, he tells him. And go and write verses that glorify Varadaraj. And when you write verses that glorify Varadaraj, Varadaraj will be so happy with you, he'll give you a boon. When Varadaraj gives you a boon, ask for your eyes back. So Kuresh goes all the way from Srirangam to Kanchipuram to fulfill the instructions of Ramanuja, which is to glorify Varadaraj. So he composes beautiful poetry, glorifying Varadaraj like anything. And finally, when he composes this beautiful verses, Varadaraj appears in front of Kuresh. And the composition of Kuresh is known as Shri Varadaraj Stava Stotra. So he asks, Varadaraj, appears in front of him, and Kuresh tells the Lord that So Varaharaj says, please ask for any boon. Kuresh says, my dear Lord, please give me the boon that I can see your transcendental form. So technically, Kuresh is blind all day long. The only thing that he can see after that is Varadaraj's form. So Kuresh gets that boon and comes back all the way to Srirangam and tells Ramanujacharya that this is what has happened. Ramanujacharya tells him, I didn't tell you to do that. I told you to get your physical vision back. Physical vision means you'll be able to see everybody, isn't it? So Ramanujacharya says, let us both go to Kanchipuram and we both will ask for this boon, you know. So Ramanujacharya takes Kuresh all the way to Kanchipuram and tells Kuresh, again chant that Varadaraj Tavastotra, you know. So Kuresh again chants Varadaraj Tavastotra. And as he begins to chant one after another, all the verses of the Varadaraj Tavastotra, at a particular point, Ramanuja, he has some work. Now he has to go for something urgent for a short duration of time. So Ramanuja tells Kuresh, you continue chanting. And, you know, Ramanujacharya goes and comes back. In the meanwhile, Kuresh completes the Varadaraj Tavastotra. And Varadaraj appears in front of him and tells him, ask any boon. Kuresh, he says, my dear Lord, if you want me to get any boon, if you want to give me any boon, look at the boon that Kuresh is asking. Kuresh tells the Lord, if you want to give any boon to me, please give the boon by which Chaturgrama is a person who actually arrested Kuresh. So he says, give me the boon by which Chaturgrama will also attain the same destination in the spiritual world like me. Now imagine if somebody has offended you and suppose that person is your greatest enemy. I'm sure all of us have at least one person in our mind who has offended us in some way and whom we have great anger towards, enmity towards, whatever, some kind of hatred towards. Will you ever ask this boon from the Lord? He says, please give that person the same destination in the spiritual world like me. Isn't it amazing what Kuresh is asking? So Varadaraj, he gets shocked. He said, what are you asking? He says, we have decided to punish Chaturgrama eternally in hell for Vaishnava Prad. And you're asking to forgive him? On top of that, you're asking that he gets a spiritual world. So Kuresh says, my dear Lord, you are Varadaraj, that means the giver of benediction. This is the only benediction I want. Please forgive him and give him the access to the spiritual world. So when Varadaraj hears this, he has tears in his eyes. He has never seen anyone, you know, like this. So then suddenly Ramanujacharya comes, you know, and he realizes that again Kuresh has asked for something else only, you know. So Ramanujacharya, he appreciates Kuresh's large-heartedness and, you know, I mean, Ramanujacharya is amazed that someone who has caused so much pain to you, how can you forgive such a person? And not just forgive that person, but you are looking for the highest destination for that person. And he said, but still you didn't ask for your physical vision back. So then Ramanujacharya, he speaks to the Lord. So he says, my dear Lord, you know everything. How did you give such a benediction to Kuresh? You know, in spite of you knowing everything and you knowing my desire, you know. And so then like this, Ramanujacharya started lamenting so much. And then Ramanujacharya started saying that, what will I do now without Kuresh's eyes? So then Varadaraj, he begins to speak to Ramanuja. He tells Ramanuja that, don't worry Ramanuja, from now onwards, I give the benediction to Kuresh. Now this is, now Kuresh is not asking for this. Varadaraj is giving this benediction to Kuresh. He tells, from now onwards, I give Kuresh the benediction that he will have eyes that will see two objects. One, his eyes will be able to see me, my divine form. And second, his eyes will be able to see you, your divine form. So Kuresh technically is blind. The only things he can see in his life is his guru and God. Imagine what a fortune it is, isn't it? We have eyes that can see everything. But unfortunately, we don't have eyes that have attraction towards the form of the spiritual master and form of the Lord. And imagine what a fortune it is that you can't see anything else except, you know, Krishna and Guru. What a fortune it is, isn't it? This is Varadaraj's special benediction to Kuresh. So, after hearing this, Ramanuja, he is very satisfied. And he immediately asks Kuresh, Kuresh, let me see how you are able to see the Lord. And Kuresh begins to describe every limb of Varadaraj's form. And Kuresh, he takes the complete darshan of Varadaraj and he glorifies every limb of Varadaraj. And then he begins to glorify the color of the ornaments of the Lord. He begins to glorify every limb of the Lord, etc. And then Ramanujacharya becomes very, you know, satisfied hearing the description of the deity from Kuresh. And then Ramanujacharya wanted to check whether he can see him also. So Ramanujacharya told his disciple, you know, that can you describe my form? And Kuresh, with so much love and so much affection, begins to describe the beautiful form of his guru, Ramanujacharya, describing the dress of Ramanuja, describing the tilak of Ramanuja, describing the shikha of Ramanuja, describing the tridanda staff of Ramanuja, describing the beautiful limbs of Ramanuja. And Ramanuja becomes so happy that Kuresh is able to see the Lord and him. And then Ramanuja, he takes Kuresh back to Srirangam all the way. And then Kuresh continues staying in Srirangam along with Ramanujacharya. So one day, after some time, Kuresh went to the temple of Ranganath and began to offer beautiful prayers to glorify Ranganath. And Ranganath was very pleased with Kuresh, you know. And he tells Kuresh, please ask for any benediction. And he says, so Kuresh is telling the Lord, by your mercy, I have everything. Everything that I wanted and more than what I deserve. And he said, there is nothing that I want. So then Ramanuja, he intervenes, you know. So this is a very interesting guru-disciple relationship. You know? The disciple is hesitating to ask and Ramanuja is pushing him to ask something from the Lord. So Ramanuja tells Kuresh, my dear Kuresh, something you should ask us. We will give you anything. And Ranganath actually promises in the name of Lakshmi Devi, his consort. He says, in the name of Lakshmi, I promise you that I'll give you anything that you ask for. Ask anything. So then Kuresh, he says, my dear Lord, if you want to at all give me any benediction, please forgive this Chaturgrama and give him the spiritual world. Same benediction he asked Ranganath also, you know. So Ranganath, he is so touched by Kuresh's mood and Kuresh's, you know, thought process. He said, I grant you that, ask for one more boon. So then Kuresh says, my dear Lord, if at all you want to give me something, please give me the benediction that when I leave a material body, I come to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. Ranganath, when he sees this, you want to go back to Vaikuntha. If you go back to Vaikuntha, what will I do without you? Ranganath is telling Kuresh like this, you know. And he says, you ask anything apart from this, I'll give you that. So Kuresh says, my dear Lord, I strongly want to go back to the spiritual world. I strongly want to go back to Vaikuntha. He says, then Ranganath tells Kuresh, he says, my dear Kuresh, if this is what you desire, I'll grant you the fulfillment of your desire. And he says, what to speak of you going to the spiritual world, anyone who is connected to you will definitely go to the spiritual world. So like that, Ranganath says, you know, Kuresh, you know, he becomes very happy getting this benediction. He's feeling a little bad that what will his guru think, you know, because he has literally said that I want to die and return to the spiritual world. So Kuresh comes back. And then eventually, Ramanujacharya comes to know that this is the boon that Kuresh has asked for. So when Ramanujacharya comes to know that this is the boon that Ranganath has given him, that anyone connected to Kuresh will go back to the spiritual world, Ramanujacharya jumps up, takes his shawl, starts rotating and dancing like anything. He said, I am so fortunate that because I am connected to Kuresh as a spiritual master, I will also get to go back to the spiritual world. Imagine, Ramanujacharya is such an exalted person, you know. Why does he need this benediction? But he's so humble, he's so grounded, and he's not thinking that I'm the Acharya of Shivaishnava Sampradaya, therefore I deserve to go to the spiritual world. Unfortunately, many of us, we are in this mood that just because we're connected to ISKCON, we'll 100% reach spiritual world. We almost get into this entitlement mood, you know. What is our entitlement? We may be connected to the best Sampradaya in the world. We may be connected to the best Acharya in the world. But do I really deserve that? Here is Ramanuja, who is the most exalted Vaishnava. And he is becoming happy that just because one disciple of mine has got this boon, that anybody connected to him will go to the spiritual world, Ramanuja is saying, I am connected to him. Hello? And therefore, I will also go to the spiritual world. And like this, Ramanuja becomes so happy and so grateful. So Kuresh, he offers his respects to Ramanuja and he embraces Ramanuja. So Ramanuja is in a little angry mood. He tells Kuresh, my dear Kuresh, how can you do this? How can you go before me? You know, how can you independently take a decision like this? And, so Ramanuja asks Kuresh, what are you thinking? So Kuresh tells him that, my dear Lord, in the recent times I've been having a lot of dreams. And I've been having vision that I'm going to pass away. And when I pass away, in my dream, I can see the residents of Vaikuntha, they are coming down to receive me. They're extending their hands to receive me into the spiritual world. And he says that in the spiritual world, there are no rules and regulations, no senior junior stuff in the spiritual world. Everybody is, you know, at one level. But Kuresh says, I can't handle that even in the spiritual world. For me, even in the spiritual world, you will be my spiritual master and I'll be your servant. And he said, I don't want to be in a situation where you go before me to the spiritual world and you are waiting to receive me. He said, I want to go before you and be there to receive you when you come. He says, I don't want to accept service from you even there. Now imagine this, era. Here is a person who is thinking after death also how to continue serving his spiritual master. So most of us, we are struggling to serve our spiritual master while we are alive. We don't know exactly how we want to serve because so much of our own selfish agendas, selfish mindset is so much prevalent. And here is Kuresh, who's thinking of how to serve the spiritual. He's planning his death in such a way that after dying also he can find some service to serve his spiritual master. So Ramanacharya starts crying. He's just not able to hold, you know, his tears. And Ramanacharya says, my dear Kuresh, how do I find anyone in the three worlds, to match you? And he says that in the spiritual world, everyone lives so friendly, even the guru and disciple. But your heart is so much filled with love for your spiritual master that even in the spiritual world, you want to continue serving your spiritual master. So like this, Ramanacharya, becomes so touched. And then Ramanacharya, actually in the years of Kuresh, he chants the mantra that he gave Kuresh when he was initiating Kuresh. So literally the last words that Kuresh hears from Ramanuja is again the initiation. So Ramanuja is initiating him back at the last moment of his life. And then Ramanacharya starts lamenting. He says, my dear Kuresh, now that you're leaving to the spiritual world, that, you know, we are so unfortunate. And Ramanacharya does not wait for Kuresh to leave his body. He chants the mantra, the holy names in the ears of Kuresh, embraces Kuresh and walks away because he can't see the death of his disciple. And then Kuresh, he falls to the feet of Ramanacharya, washes the feet of Ramanacharya with his tears, and he chants the names of Ramanacharya. And Ramanacharya walks away. And at that point of time, Kuresh, he calls his wife and his two sons. And these are the parting instructions of Kuresh to his wife and two sons. And this is just amazing. Kuresh asks his wife, what are your thoughts at this point in time? So his wife says, my dear husband, I have no other desire except your desire. Your desire to return to the spiritual world is my desire. So she says like this, I am so happy that you are returning back to the spiritual world. And then Kuresh calls his sons. Parashara and Venkatabhatta. The interesting thing about these two sons is that, do you remember that night that Ranganath sent Prasad in a palanquin to Kuresh's house? That night, Kuresh's wife ate that Prasad. And that night she conceived. So it is explained that Parashara and Vedavyas, both of them are sons of Ranganath. So all the Shiva Vaishnavas consider Parashara and Vedavyas to be sons of Ranganath. So Kuresh calls the two of them and he tells the two, this is the parting instructions of father to his sons. He tells them, don't be proud thinking that you are sons of Ranganath. Rather, you should think that you are servant of Ramanujacharya. Don't become proud that you are the son of the greatly learned Kuresh, who has learned so many scriptures. But rather, you should always think that you are servant of Ramanuja. And apart from that, he said, respect all the devotees as much as you would respect me. And he says, live according to the desire of your mother and take shelter of the lotus feet of Ramanuja. Saying like this, Kuresh kept his head on the lap of his disciple and his feet on the lap of his wife Andal. And his hand is held by his son Parashara Bhatta, and he thinks of his spiritual master Ramanacharya, and closing his eyes, he leaves his body and goes back to the spiritual world. The story of Kuresh is an amazing story that teaches us what a life of a devotee is. If you keep all the mystical elements aside and look at only the human element, and look at the element of the heart of Kuresh, here is the heart of a Vaishnava, a heart that doesn't hold any malice, a heart that doesn't hold any hatred, a heart that doesn't hold any kind of grudges, and a heart that is filled only with the desire to serve the spiritual master, serve the Lord, and a heart that is only filled with the desire for serving others, nothing for oneself. Obviously, we are very, very far away from having a heart like this. We may be devotees in our body, but our hearts are still demoniac. Our hearts are very, very far from being devotees. So hopefully, someday, our heart also will become a Vaishnav. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granthra Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.